was looking at a couple of verses from the book of Acts in Acts chapter 1, in verses 3 and then in verse 15, and also in 1 Corinthians. What we're looking at was just what was taking place. And in Acts chapter 1, what's taking place is Jesus has already ascended. And after his ascension, he told the disciples, you wait here because the Holy Spirit's coming. You wait, you tarry, you dwell here and wait because this is the next step. I'm leaving, and it's good that I'm leaving so that the Holy Spirit can come. You wait here. And we also looked at some of the other verses, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and just the consideration that there was 40 days between the time that Jesus ascended to heaven until the coming of the Holy Spirit. There was 40 days from the time that Jesus was resurrected, that he walked here on earth, until he ascended into heaven. So in that 40 days, when he was resurrected and when he ascended to heaven, in that 40-day period, there's several verses that talk about those that saw him and that he showed himself to others. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 6, in that one specific incident, this is one incident of one day of the 40 that Jesus was here after his resurrection, showing himself to believers. And in this one particular instance that Paul cites, he says that 500 were there. So we know that, you know, at least a minimum of 500 people had seen Jesus. These are believers, followers of Jesus Christ, who saw him resurrected. And the point out of all that was then to look at verse number 15, where Peter is talking, and he's talking about those who are dwelling there at the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. And he says that 120 were in attendance. And the point on Monday was there was literally had to be thousands of people in those 40 days, thousands of followers, thousands of believers of Jesus Christ who saw him. They saw him when he was alive. They saw him die on a cross. They saw him put in a tomb, and they saw him then alive again, walking and alive in his resurrected body. And out of those thousands of people, only 120 followed the instructions of Jesus, where he said to tarry, to wait, because of what was coming. So thousands saw, but only 120 had the patience to wait. And the point on Monday was, God always has great things for us. But oftentimes, we're like the majority of the people in that 40-day period. God tells us something is coming, but we don't have the patience to wait for it. We just go on with our lives. And if we don't see results right away, when he says wait, he means wait until you see it. You'll know when it happens because you'll recognize it. Guarantee those who were in the upper room, they knew that this is what Jesus was talking about. But all the other hundreds or thousands that had seen that, that knew that, that had been told, they didn't wait. And so they missed. So there's always a small percentage of people. And this is what you and I want to be. You and I want to be that small percentage of people that believe the word, that are obedient, and that will put ourselves out there to do whatever it takes to be that small percentage that pursues after God and is obedient and waits for him to speak to us and waits for him. Even when we pray and believe and stand for something, we continue to stand. We wait until we see it come to pass. So we were looking at the number 120 and how that's a very small percentage of all those that had seen Jesus in that 40-day period from his resurrection until his ascension. But there's another number I want to look at. It's a small number, but this is the power that comes in small numbers. Verses we're all very familiar with in the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to read these verses. We'll start with verse number 18 and roll through. Verses 18, 19, and 20. Well, let's just read verses 19 and 20. Again, this is Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We've heard those verses so many times, and yet it tells us the power, and it tells you exactly what Jesus himself is instructing us to do. And this is why we do the prayer closet. Now, this is why we sit here every day and we share the word, but it's also why we invite you and invite you with some enthusiasm behind that invitation to call, to speak to us, to share with us what's going on in your life, to let us as the body of Christ know how we can pray with you. And we always keep it anonymous. But we want to know what's going on so that we can, as a body of believers, agree together with you. Because where two or more agree on earth on anything, Jesus said, it shall be done by his Father. This is the power that comes in that unity, in that togetherness, in praying together, that unity of prayer. Listen, you can stand and pray by yourself, and you can stand in faith and see things take place. But you know what? It's far easier to accomplish those things when there's someone standing with you, because this is the way that God's designed it. And Jesus knows who we are. He knows that every one of us has to battle that battle between faith and unbelief. Now, we've talked about this a lot on the show. You have to look at it as, you know, we all have the measure of faith. So all of us have the faith. You have the faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have all the faith you need. You've already exercised that faith to believe for something that you can never quantify with your mind or with your experiences. You can never prove what you believe. You believe it in faith. Now, when you step out in faith and you believe, you get all those reassurances and the calmness and the peace, and you see the promises of Christ come to pass. But still, at some point, you had to believe. You demonstrated that faith. You have all the faith you need to believe for whatever is going on in your life. So you have the faith. And if you picture it as one of those old-time scales, you know, the balance scales, where you have the fulcrum, you have the bar across the fulcrum, and on either side you have the little chains holding the little discs, and you put something on one side and something on the other, and one side, if something's heavier, it's going to counterbalance that which is on the other side. Well, if you picture that and you have your faith, and we all have faith, we all have all the faith that we need, you put that on one side of the scale. On the other side of scale, what's put there is your unbelief, because all of us have all the faith that we need. Our battle is against unbelief. You have all the faith you need to receive whatever, but the battle is for that unbelief. The battle is to get rid of that unbelief. The more unbelief you have, the more doubts you have, the more concerns, the more fears you're living in, the greater that unbelief is, that can counterbalance that scale, and all of a sudden it's weighted towards the unbelief, and you're not going to see the answers. You won't enjoy the success you're looking for. You're not going to lay hold of the promises that Jesus has for you, because that scale, that spiritual scale, is out of balance. It's balanced in favor of doubt and unbelief. And God's word doesn't work through unbelief. It works through faith. So we have to remove the unbelief. As we get rid of the unbelief, as we get rid of our doubts, our concerns, our fears, it changes, it tips, if you will, that balance, so it's weighted towards faith. And when it's weighted towards the faith, that's when you can see those things taking place. So the battle that we have is to remove the doubts, to remove the uncertainties. And Jesus knows us, and that's why he's saying here to the disciples, and he's saying here to you and I today, he's saying, when two or more are gathered together and ask anything in the name of my Father, it shall be done. Because he knows, listen, you can stand on the word yourself. You can stand on the word by yourself, and you can believe the word, and you can see the word come to pass. But how much easier is it for you to have somebody standing with you? Because all of us are battling some of that unbelief. All of us are going through that battle of trying to remove the unbelief. It goes back to the story in Luke where Jesus and Peter, James, and John all came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They came down after that great experience. They're down in the valley, and down there in the valley is the Father with his son who's demon-possessed. And the other disciples had been there and could not bring deliverance for that son. And they asked, the Father asked Jesus, you know, why that was, and he explained that. But one of the words that is key to me is when Jesus asked the Father, when Jesus said, do you believe? And the Father said, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. The Father understood the battle that all of us, he was very succinct in describing the battle that we all go through. Yes, we believe. We believe the word is true. If I would ask probably 99% of you who are listening to this broadcast, if I would say you were here before me and I could see you, and I said, as I'm holding up the word of God, I said, do you believe this is the word of God? And do you believe that it's true and it's inerrant? And probably 99% of you would say, yes, I believe. I believe all the things that are there in the Bible. We'd all, for the most part, have that agreement. So the faith is there. We believe. But the difficulty is the unbelief. The Father said, as he was speaking to Jesus, the father of the boy said, listen, Jesus, I believe. I do believe. but it's my unbelief that's causing me concern. It's my unbelief that troubles me. I believe, but help me in my unbelief. And this is why Jesus said, when two or more of you are gathered together and agree in my name, there am I in the midst of you. There is strength that comes from two or more. Does it mean it doesn't work by yourself? Of course it does. But each one of us, just like that father, each one of us has that ongoing battle between faith and unbelief and where that's tipping the balance of the scales in our lives. And it's beneficial for us to have someone else standing with us in prayer, agreeing with us in prayer, putting their faith with ours and helping us alleviate. Listen, if you're standing with someone and you're praying, just think about this. How many times have you prayed with someone? You've prayed, you've stood by yourself, but you didn't see it come to pass. But when you looked in someone else's eyes and you said, this is the struggle that I'm having. This is what I need to see God do. I know that his word is true. Would you stand with me and pray with me on this? And you look in your eyes and you see that they have faith. Because it's easier for us to have faith for others than it is for ourselves. So you look at that person and you see the faith in their eyes, and guess what? The faith in your eyes, the faith in you soars, and the doubts and the unbelief just kind of cycle away. This is the power that comes from two or more agreeing together. And this is why Jesus said, when two or more of you are together, I'm there in the midst of you. We see this time and time again in Luke chapter 24, after Jesus was resurrected and the two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. They're walking. Jesus came up and walked with them. They didn't even recognize him, but he was right there in their midst. So many times in our life, we don't recognize that Jesus is there. But this is what he's saying. When two or more of you come together, I'm right there with you. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but I'm right there with you. There's something about our faith that soars when we have somebody else praying and agreeing with us. There's something about looking in the eyes of someone else that we draw strength from their faith that we see in their eyes, that we hear in their voice, that we see in their body language, the confidence that they have that makes us, when we pray, have our doubts and fears alleviated. So that scale is weighted in favor of faith, and we can see those things done. So Jesus is saying, verily I say unto you, let me read this to you from the Amplified Bible. It says, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together. Boy, I love that. If two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything that they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. And we looked earlier at how disappointing it was when you look at Acts and 1 Corinthians and the verses we looked at there and how few actually waited and believed. But even in the few, we see here in this verse, in these verses, we see the power of just two standing together. And this is why it's important not to stand by yourself. Because Jesus said, again, I tell you. In other words, this is not a new concept that I'm sharing. I'm saying to you again. I told you this before. I want you to get this. If two of you on earth, this is not something that, you know, has to, this is something that you do here in this natural realm that affects changes in the natural realm, because it's already done in the spiritual realm. But when two of you here on earth agree together, you affect change in the natural realm. You usher in those things from the spiritual realm. So if two of you on earth agree, so in other words, if you and someone else agree together on what the word says, this is what Jesus said, this is the promise, that's why we're praying. We are agreeing together in the word of Jesus Christ. When two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, and make a symphony together. I'm not a musical person, but I think I have this right. And you can call me if I'm wrong. But harmony is not two people singing together the exact same thing. You're singing the same words, but one's kind of changing. I don't understand the verbiage that goes along with it. But one is singing one way and the other is harmonizing. They're singing the same words, but they're just, you know, musically doing something different with their voice, different inflections, just... But it all flows together in perfectness. This is what it is when you are standing and agreeing together with somebody else. It's two different people, two separate individuals. But they're saying, even they're coming from different places, they're saying the exact same thing, and they're standing together. And to Jesus Christ, that is a symphony. When you've heard two people harmonize together, and I have no idea how to harmonize. I've talked to my wife about that. I don't understand how you do that. I don't know if that's just a gift or it's understanding music. I don't know. But I listen to people that harmonize, and I think, well, that's really awesome. I have no idea how you do that, but that's really awesome. And as beautiful as that sounds, and as beautiful as that is, Jesus is saying that when two of you agree on earth on anything, it's that kind of symphony. It's beautiful to him because there is freedom for him to move through that because it's that faith joined together with the doubts and unbeliefs. Perhaps not totally removed, but alleviated because of the two coming together. There's more we could say about that, but for today, I just want you to be encouraged, and this is why we do the prayer closet. It's not just you standing by yourself. It's more than two coming together. We want to harmonize with you. In that area of need that you have and what you're believing for, we want to harmonize with you, bringing our faith together with you, bringing our faith together in what we say so that we're saying the same thing with you. We're agreeing with you. You're going to write that down. Well, you're not going to write it down. You're going to call. It's going to be written down, brought in here to me. I'm reading what you are saying. But we're harmonizing as a body of believers. And those who are listening hear those words, and we're harmonizing together as we agree together in faith over those words. And it's a beautiful symphony. It's a beautiful symphony to Jesus about whatever, anything and everything that you will ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. This is the expectation that we have.